This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's just about 6:40 and you're listening to the evening edition with Lynn, and we're moving on to our next story. So September 10th, or today, is World Suicide Prevention Day. And this year's theme is working together to prevent suicide. So we wanted to observe that today simply by looking at how we as a society can come together to do just that. And this is maybe especially timely since the pandemic has caused a rise in mental health issues and mental health strain in general. During the MCO, many Malaysians may have lost their jobs, faced salary cuts. Cases of domestic violence increased as well as people stayed home and also dealt with the strain and stress of the pandemic, as well as just basically of money. And from March 18th to May 16th, the Befrienders hotline received more than 4,000 calls related to mental health, and over a third of those were related to suicide. And it's important to bring up the hotline because, according to Befrienders, suicide prevention is dependent on support networks. So again, coming back to what we wanted to talk about today, it's about how we can all do better and work together to be that support network, to identify warning signs, reach out to the people we may be worried about, and improve existing services. So we're going to be going through this shortly after with Victor Tan, who is the Deputy Chairman of Befrienders KL. In the meantime, though, we do have this message that's come through a voice note from Eunice. Here we go.
Having mental health issues is seen to be a weakness in the Asian culture. I remember very clearly, and I was watching TV and it was talking about how insurance don't cover for mental health issues, and my mom just bluntly said, yeah, see all these people on the States always complaining about it. Mental health issues here and there, they're so weak. You know, people here, we are very self-dependent, very self-reliant. If there's any issues, we can just, you know, go and ask around and get it fixed, you know, like go to the temple or something. So I think it's the whole idea of mental health issue that is not being accepted by us here.
And I think that's such a great point, because societal stigma, the idea of if we don't talk about it, then it isn't there, is a huge thing in a lot of countries. And I've definitely seen that happen here as well. So that's something that we'll be raising with Victor right after this. Again, we are going to be speaking with Victor Tan, who is the Deputy Chairman of Befrienders KL. If you have any questions, any thoughts in conjunction with World Suicide Prevention Day, do let us know what they are. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:46 and you're listening to the evening edition with Lynn. We're observing World Suicide Prevention Day today, and this year's theme focuses on working together to prevent suicide. So again, if you have any questions, any thoughts that you'd like to share, you can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now joining us on the line is Victor Tan, who is the Deputy Chairman at Befrienders KL. Victor, welcome to the show. So I know that we've covered this before here on the show, and you've talked about this on the station as well, but I think it's worth a refresher. What are the behaviours or warning signs for suicide?
Well, there are actually quite a lot, but you know, some of the more common ones would be like extreme mood swings, a tendency to withdraw, you know, dramatic changes in eating and sleeping patterns. You know, if they are already struggling, or they're trying to cope with an existing mental illness like, you know, depression or bipolar disorder, you know, overwhelming feelings, prolonged overwhelming feelings of hopelessness, helplessness, making statements like life is not worth going on, you know, and so these are some of the key, you know, symptoms. And if you, you know, do a quick search on Google, you can find a more comprehensive list. Yeah.
Now, I wanted to also touch on this because something that you occasionally hear people say, especially people who have, you know, experienced their loved ones committing suicide, is that they saw no warning signs or that they were entirely surprised. Could you walk us through why this happens and how to potentially avoid going through this?
Okay, so the first thing to keep in mind is that for the vast majority of suicide cases, so by say vast majority, I'm going to roughly quantify maybe about, you know, anywhere between 75 to 85%, okay? This is what the research shows. Maybe 75 to 85% of people who die by suicide, they generally show some kind of warning sign. And again, you can, you know, check for this list on Google or, you know, and so on. So there are some warning signs, but the problem is there is still that 15%. Okay? So that there could be a possibility that, you know, those people who died from suicide, it was really the case that they had absolutely no warning sign whatsoever. Okay? So that's one thing. It's a possibility, right? So it's a very sad possibility, but unfortunately, that is the case that there are some people who do die from suicide without any warning signs. Okay? It happens. Okay? But that doesn't mean, you know, still the message is that, you know, the vast majority do have warning signs. Okay. Now, there is some research to show that suicide can occur because of an impulsive thought. And again, this is, you know, very preliminary research. So there are lots of people who may have suicidal thoughts and they don't act on it. Okay. So they might have the impulse, but they can control it. They can keep it in check. So they can, you know, be going on with life in a pretty normal way while still struggling with suicidal thoughts. There's some people who maybe tend to be more impulsive, less level of self-control. And so when the suicidal thought comes up, and it actually surfaces quite commonly, you know, I mean, a lot of people, even if they don't have mental illness, they may have occasional suicidal thoughts, you know, depending on the situation they're in. So for some people, because of their impulsive nature, because of their personality, they may just directly act out, you know, on, you know, whatever thought that comes up first in their mind.
So considering all the different signs or, for that matter, risk factors for suicide, how has this been affected by COVID-19 this year?
Well, I think the general consensus worldwide is for mental health authorities and in the mental health organizations worldwide, it's had a very significant negative impact on people in general who are struggling with mental health illness. So it probably would have contributed to an increase in suicides. But again, we don't have hard statistical data on this. But what we do know is that a lot of people who are struggling with some form of mental illness, their symptoms have significantly deteriorated because of, you know, the isolation brought about by the, you know, the lockdown in various countries and also, of course, in Malaysia. Domestic violence, of course, has been on the increase as well. I'm sure you know about that. People have been reluctant to go to hospitals to get treatment because of fear of COVID-19, of getting COVID-19, so they don't actually, you know, continue in contact with their psychiatrists and therapists and so on. Yeah, so it's generally had a very negative impact.
What should you do then if someone tells you that they have suicidal thoughts? Or for that matter, I think earlier when you were talking about warning signs, one of the things that you brought up was, you know, saying things such as, I can't do this anymore, you know, I don't feel life is worth living. If you hear these words from someone close to you, someone around you, what should you do?
It's important to have a heart-to-heart talk with them. So you need to find a time when you are kind of free and they are kind of free and they're kind of open. And ready to open up to you. So I guess you must be someone that they trust to some extent, they can open up to. So then you need to kind of, you know, bring up the topic, you know, that day you mentioned that you can't go on with life anymore. Can you please tell me more about that? And then you kind of need to slowly, you know, move into that area. And at some point, you need to actually ask a question. And this is really, really important. You have to ask a question. You know, I'm sorry, you know, Jane, but I just want to check with you. You know, sometimes when people say that they can't go on with life anymore, they've had thoughts of ending their life. Have you ever had that? You have to ask that really directly. You have to ask the suicide question. And I mean, the research shows that a lot of time when people do have the suicidal thoughts, it's actually quite a relief for them to be able to share with someone. So, and then, of course, you have to try to be calm, not overreact and, you know, shout and scream and then tell them you shouldn't be having these kind of thoughts, because generally you can't control your thoughts, especially suicidal thoughts. You know, nobody chooses to have suicidal thoughts. So then you kind of have to allow them to express their emotions, painful emotions that have brought them to the point of suicide, because a lot of times suicidal thoughts are due to a desire to get relief from intense emotional pain. So you kind of need to let them express their emotional pain. And once they have expressed that, you can then express care and concern for them, okay? And then the next very important thing is you need to encourage them to get professional help. If they aren't already seeing a psychiatrist or therapist, you need to really encourage them, please, you know, go and see a psychiatrist or therapist. And you can be there for them, right? You can say, I'll be there to support you. You don't have to be frightened. A lot of people have overcome, suicidal thoughts. It's nothing to be ashamed of, right? It's just another thing, like, you know, getting a flu, you can get over it with appropriate medication and treatment. So assure them and then, you know, encourage them to get professional help and say you're going to go along with them if they feel frightened or intimidated.
I wanted to kind of return to something you said right at the start, which is have a heart-to-heart. And the International Association for the Study of Pain is putting out the call to step closer, which is to connect someone to life and the help that they want. And I suppose I wanted to know how one can step closer to someone, especially if you yourself are somebody who maybe is not prone to heart-to-heart conversations or it's something that you don't personally feel very comfortable with.
Okay, if it's something you don't feel personally comfortable with, then probably you don't want to jump into it. But what you can do is you can just do something more superficial, like, okay, something very simple as just saying, showing concern. Like you could say, hey, Jane, I noticed the other day you're looking down and you said something like, I don't feel like life is worth, going on with anymore. You know, I'm a bit concerned I'm not really sure how to help you, but I just want you to know I care and, you know, can you let me know how I can help you? So just that demonstration of, you know, concern, just a short statement like that, you know, if the person wants to talk more and you're uncomfortable, you're not sure, okay, you can say like, you know, I'm not really sure how to support you. I really want to be able to be there, but, you know, I'm a bit frightened that I'm not be able to say the right thing or I'm not be able to go into depth in this conversation. Would it be okay if you kind of go and see a therapist or counselor and I'm going to be there to support you? So, you know, try and take them again. The point is to take them to see a professional. If you suspect that, you know, it is a possible suicidal ideation. Of course, I mean, I'm not saying you should try and encourage everyone to go and see a counselor, right? Sometimes it could be just like, you know, a bad day, right? So, but it's important to just have a short talk. So here's the thing, right? You don't have to go in there, explore feelings. You can just use a couple of simple questions plus a couple of simple assuring statements like, I'm here, I care, I want to help. Can you tell me how I can help you? So something as simple as that.
So we received a message a little bit earlier from a listener who said that essentially, you know, there is still some stigma or a lot of stigma for that matter attached to mental health and a reluctance to deal with it head on in the country. What do you think keeps people away from seeking help, you know, in some instances? And is enough being done to encourage people to reach out to existing services?
I think there's a lot being done by the government to reach out to existing services. I have to give credit to that. And there are a lot of NGOs other than ourselves as well who are, you know, actively taking part in various initiatives to promote mental health awareness in the community. However, I think that point that you raised is very important. So there is actually this cultural thing. And I mean, it's just in all cultures as well, all races, that, you know, as you say, there's a stigma regarding mental health. It's a very profound stigma, and I guess, you know, even amongst educated people, you know, working in the urban environment, a lot of people are not, you know, ready to disclose that they are struggling with depression or whatever. So that's one. Another thing we might see with our callers is a lot of misunderstanding about psychiatric medication. They are frightened they become addicted to it, or they are frightened they start taking a medication, they have to take medication for the rest of their life. Or they end up, you know, being put into a straitjacket and shipped off to Tanjung Rambutan if they start taking, you know, psychiatric medication and so on. So there are a lot of misunderstandings about psychiatric medication. Because that's one of the, you know, common modes of treatment for mental illness, right? So again, we need to work to slowly overcome that. And I think there is progress made, okay, but we just also need to keep in mind that it's very deeply ingrained cultural, attitudes towards mental illness not only just in Malaysia, actually, in a lot of countries. Okay, even in Western countries, there still is some stigma. Maybe not as much as here, but there is. So I think it's just an ongoing effort that we all just need to keep plugging away at.
And we have just about a minute left with you, Victor. But when it comes to this idea of working together, how can, you know, corporate organizations, government agencies, NGOs all come together to, you know, help prevent suicide?
Well, I think if you have a joint committee, like there's recently, there's a Malaysian Mental Health coalition. There's a coalition of like a couple of NGOs. So people can get together and discuss, you know, different ways in which they can, you know, complement each other's strengths and work together to support the community. Because a lot of times we work in isolation from each other. Governments might work in isolation from NGOs. So we don't really know what the government is doing. The government doesn't really know what we are doing. So, you know, our efforts don't really kind of complement each other well. So we just need to have more, you know, committees and maybe discussions and then, you know, find a way forward, I guess.
Victor, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me on air.
That was Victor Tan, Deputy Chairman at Befrienders KL, talking about how suicide can be prevented in conjunction with World Suicide Prevention Day. If you or someone you know could use emotional support, Befrienders does operate a hotline. That number is 7627-2929. You can also email sam@befrienders.org.my. And that's it. If you would like to share your thoughts, weigh in on the subject of World Suicide Prevention Day, or for that matter, on returning Sabahans, going home to vote, you can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.